The book of Joshua, chapter number 2 today, the book of Joshua. If you have a Scofield Bible, you can find it on that page. If you look real close, 260. Book of Joshua, chapter number 2. Stand with us, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God. Boy, I appreciate the Spirit of the Lord this morning. And I praise His good name. Book of Joshua, chapter number 2, verse number 1. The Bible said, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. They went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. Verse 4, the woman took the 2 men, hid them, and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. Came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, the men went out. Whether the men I wot not pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. She had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof." You can be seated this morning. I want to preach out of verse number 1. The Bible said that they went and came unto a harlot's house named Rahab. I want to preach out this Bible passage on Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot. Now this is a story that unfolds all through the book of Joshua. Remember, Moses had crossed the Red Sea with the children of Israel. He had Joshua in that camp. No doubt Joshua was watching the leader as he crossed the Red Sea over into the Promised Land. Now Moses, that great leader of the camp, God had told him, when you cross over the Red Sea, I'm going to give you all the land of Canaan. There was something in the way. Moses died. Now Joshua took the reins of the camp. And there's something that he's met in the Bible called Jericho. It's where Rahab the harlot was living. There was a great Jordan to cross before they got over into Jericho. Isn't it amazing in our lives what God has told us we could have? There's still obstacles out in front of us getting what God intends us to have. And I can tell you this morning, you'll never have what God wants you to have unless you go after it by faith. Now let's look in Joshua 2 and verse number 1. First of all, note the soldiers' watch. The soldiers' watch. The Bible said that Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came to a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now the soldiers watch. First of all, I want you to note their readiness. Here Joshua has been ridiculed, but Joshua was using great wisdom. Moses, remember, had sent spies out into Canaan. But now God's done told them they could have the land, but Joshua uses great wisdom. He uses another set of eyes. I don't know about you, but I've noticed in leadership a lot of times it does good to get somebody else's eyes. By the way, ain't you glad that some of you's got some friends that can give you some good godly counsel? Good godly advice, because our way's not always the right way. I'm glad I got a wife that balances me a little bit. My problem is I can't hold her hand while I'm preaching and say, what did I say now? after I done said it, then she tells me what I done wrong. But I can tell you this morning, friend, that Joshua used great wisdom. He sent somebody out to spy in the land. Ain't you glad there's somebody watching out for you this morning? I was driving down here and I was thinking, boy, I appreciate people that's watching out after their Joshua. I'm going to tell you that the reason preachers and congregations is in trouble today, because the congregation ain't watching out for them. Go and say amen right there, somebody. Go and get you a little backbone this morning. Say, hey, lady, elbow him right dead in the side this morning. Say, that's right. Say, y'all watch out about our Joshua. He sent some eyes out. I thank God there's some men looking out for me this morning. Amen. Thank God for it. I'm glad. Some of you say, preacher, don't mind them. They're crazy anyhow. Well, what are you saying? Well, we see this sobering watch. The soldiers went out. We see their readiness. You know something? If you're a member of Liberty Baptist Church, you ought to have a zeal for the service of the camp. I mean, it ought to thrill you that God would use you in the service of this camp. Because this is a camp. And honey, it ain't any old camp neither. It's a God-fearing camp. It's a place where the gospel's preached. Come one, come all, but you must all come by the way of the old rugged cross. And I notice all through the Bible, when you come to other people's camp, you did as they done. They didn't do as they did. Amen. And so we see here these soldiers watch their readiness. You ought to be ready. You ought to be on standby to do whatever your Joshua needs you to do. You don't need a title to do something for God. Just be a Christian. Their readiness and then their reliability. I like this. The Bible said, go view the land, even Jericho, and they went. I like that. I ain't seen nobody voting to see if Joshua could send nobody out. Did you notice that? Well, can we do that? Well, we got to take and vote and see. I wonder what somebody would have told Moses and Joshua we're going to vote about something. That tears our little community up because you go to a church where they ain't got a vote on doing right. Yeah, I'm going to shout a little this morning. It'd be okay to shout a little bit. Lord, that's why our church is in a mess today. Everybody's got their opinion. The Word of God will do. Just follow it and go on. Soldier's watch. And then notice not only a soldier's watch, there was a sinful woman. Bible said in verse 1, they went, came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged. Can I tell you, God knows where you're living? Can I tell you, God knows what you're doing and God knows your name this morning. I'm talking about where the camp was camped. Some 8 or 10 miles from her house, they crossed the river and went into a harlot's house. And God knows where they was and God knows where she was. And God knows where I am and where you are this morning. We ain't fooling nobody. He knows where we are and what we're doing. And so we see this sinful woman. It was a harlot's house. Why, today they would have paraded her through town and paid homages to her. Because ain't nothing wrong in America no more. Nobody blushes about sin no more. Used to a harlot would hide theirself. And when kids went through a place and they seen a brothel, mom and daddies would put their hands over their eyes and not even let them look toward that wicked place. Now it's on our TV and now it's an accepted lifestyle. Honey, they was a sinful woman. Notice her dark place. The Bible said, go and view the land. It was nighttime. The Bible said in verse 2, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. Sinful woman, her dark place. But number 2, her old dirty past. I got a little ahead of the preaching, but you know yourself, America don't blush no more. My goodness, her dark past, but her dirty place. Sin, still sin this morning. You think you're just going to stand before God one day, and so if your good works outbalance your bad works, He's going to let you in the gate? It don't work that way. There's one road to heaven, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Ye must be born again. You say, preacher, I'm going to heaven. Okay, when did you get born again? Watch this sinful woman, her dark place, her dirty past. But there was a divine providence. Ain't it amazing? This amazes me about this Bible. How God picks out the unsavable and saves the hound out of them. You know, I'd be careful not to throw rocks at sinners. I'd be careful to say, I couldn't do that, or I wouldn't go there, because you'll find out you'll be just like them. God help a congregation that would turn their nose up to sinners. Sinners going to stand before God. The Lord Jesus died for sinners this morning. I'm glad I read something in my Bible, Lord. I wished every harlot in the county would come sit down. Amen. Watch this, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 9. I like this in my Bible. You ought to mark it, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters. Anybody that's got them little idols sitting around. We won't talk about the Buddhists and all. They, a lot of folks got a boat as an idol. A lot of folks got golf clubs as an idol. A lot of folks got a deer stand as an idol. A lot of folks got a job as an idol. I just go on and 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 on idolatry this morning. We won't think it's big idols and little idols. But he said, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, that's homosexuals, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, my goodness, nor covetous, that's greed, my goodness, nor drunkards, oh Lord, nor revilers, that's tongue waggers, nor extortioners, that's swindlers, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Well, I just named about 95% of this congregation. Oh, except you visitors. Except you that your mama told you was pretty when you was a baby and you ain't never got over that yet. Verse 11. Oh, I love it. And such were some of you. Oh, I'm glad this is in there. But ye are washed. Oh, but you're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He said, I saved the likes out of you, and you ought to praise me because I saved you, boy. You ought to thank God He saved you out of that lifestyle. I remember me and my little buddy got together. $20 in the 60s was a pile of money. We went over to his grandpa's house, and I know where he hid his billfold. We went over on the dresser like some of you never done. I got a $20 bill out of there. Man, we was in high cotton, but we had a problem. We couldn't cash it. So we went on our bicycle to the store. That's right, young people. We had to ride a bicycle where we went. Somebody say amen right there. Some of you got exercise. It'll help you this morning. And so we got down the store and I pulled that $20 out, Brother Dave, and I gave it to that old grocery man. You know what he said? My goodness, boy, where'd you get that kind of money? And I lied. Not only did I steal something, I lied. I said, my mama told me come get change. And boy, to my unbeknowing, he didn't have enough money to change it. But he said, I'll have it tomorrow if you'll come back. But something happened. We had a telephone in the house. He called back to my mom and said, hey, that $20 bill you sent up here with Ken to change, I'll have you change tomorrow. She said, what $20 bill? Be sure your sin will find you out. I got home on that little bicycle. Boy, I was in high cotton. She met me out on the doorstep. She didn't have a chocolate pie made neither. She didn't put me in a time out in the corner, brother. She said, boy, where'd you get that money? I said, what money? Such were some of you. Oh, but you're washed. Oh, God, but I woke up a few places. I didn't know how I got there. But I'm washed. Oh, but I'm sanctified by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. Been saved and blood washed and blood bought by the grace of God. So you be careful. Don't talk about my sister Rahab. Such were some of you. And you know, we want to forget that, don't we? Man, we want to put on our two-piece duds and come walking in and say, man, ain't we something? And we forget about when somebody sings about amazing grace, you can't even throw your hands up and thank God for the grace that is amazing. That got you out of a pool room, got you out of a beer joint, got you out of some bad place. You ought to thank the Lord of glory that had saved something like me and you. Such was some of you. And when some of them come in, we ought to love them because such was some of you. She's going to say, that's good preaching, preacher. We see a soldier's watch. We see a sinful woman. But then in verse 9, we see a stern word. Stern word. They got in her house. And by the way, she lied. She told a bald-faced lie. King come, said, hey, them boys come in. Said, where they at? She said, oh, they left, but she hit them up in the flax on the rooftop. I got my own opinion about that. My opinion's getting me in trouble lately, so you come see me after service, I'll give you mine. Amen. Stern word! Look what she said, verse number 9. She said to the men before they laid down, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terrorists fall upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. I wish we'd get a hold to that. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Honey, the devil's a defeated foe this morning. It would surprise you how much that the White House is scared of a Christian today. For we've heard, watch this, verse 10, how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. You know something? If you could dry up waters, God wouldn't get the glory, would he? Ain't it amazing how God would put you in a tight place that folks can hear about the Lord on your account? Look what he said. We've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. Ain't it amazing, God? There's so much in this thing I'll never preach it all. It's amazing how much God thinks of his young'uns that he would absolutely just dry up the Red Sea for them. By the way, he said, I'm the Lord and I change not. He'll do it for you too. Now, look what he says. We see a stern word. We've heard how the Lord dried the water up of the sea. When you came out of Egypt, what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed, they didn't play with sin. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He's God in heaven above and in earth beneath. You ought to underline that. There's a stirring word. Now watch this. 40 years has passed since God parted that Red Sea. And there's a stirring word went out all through Jericho. They heard about what God done. Boy, I'm going to tell you, God will have His last say so. When God does something, people take note. And so there's 40 years this thing has happened now. And now in this is what's amazing to me. For 40 years, this king has had grace and he's had warning. I wonder when some of you are going to get saved. I wonder, do you realize for a long time now God has been dealing with you by compassion and grace and mercy? And you better thank the God of heaven you ain't got what you deserve this morning. you better thank the Lord. You ought to run out of this parking lot with the windows down saying, hallelujah, I'm glad I ain't got justice today. Because if God is fair, you'd be in hell this morning burning in your sins. You rejected the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, pushed it away like it was nothing, and God give the best thing He had for you and for me. And for 40 years, He's dealt them grace and mercy. And far as I know, this is the only one got saved. Rahab, an old harlot. She knowed what she was. And you'll never get saved till you know what you are. Long as you think you're doing pretty good and you're going to turn over a new leaf, you'll never get saved by the grace of God. Boy, I'm telling you, when you figure out just what you are, there's help coming for you. There's a stirring word. The Bible said, I done found out something. Said, He's God in heaven above and earth beneath. Ain't that amazing? I believe she done got saved before they even got there. The Bible said, by the faith of Rahab, she was saved. Faith! Faith will get you out of hell this morning. I'm talking about moving faith. I'm talking about saving faith. She heard and she believed. You'll never get saved till you hear. She said, I done heard about our God. She called Him Jehovah. She's living in a land of idols. She's living in a land of great dark depravity and great idolatry. And the grace and the providence of God shone on her by mercy. And she believed because she heard He was God of heaven and God of the earth. Let me tell you something. He's not taking orders from Washington. He's not taking orders from the Council of Bowden. He is God and He does what pleases Him. He's a sovereign God today. So she heard and she believed. I wish some of us would believe like her that He's God in heaven and in earth. You know something? He's not God half mighty. He's God almighty. I mean, isn't it amazing how big He is? Look what she said, and you ought to underline it in your Bible. We heard how the Lord dried it up. She said, our hearts melted. Said, your Lord, your God, He's God in heaven above and in earth beneath. He's ruling and reigning, folk. There are no accidents with Him. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. He's boss. He's potentate. He's king of kings. He's not taking orders from nobody. We see a stirring word. But look in verse 15. Notice a scarlet witness. I like 14. Let's go on and get this 12. Now therefore I pray you swear to me by the Lord, since I've showed you kindness, that you also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Sound like to me, she believed. You know, one of the first signs to find out if you've been saved or not, other folks of your family get on your heart. She said, I want you to not only save mine, but I want you to save all that's in my house. Now look in verse 14. And the men answered her, you ought to underline this, our life for yours. Somebody wrote a song about that. Our life for yours, if you utter not this our business, it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Our life for yours. Can I tell you, somebody gave His life for yours. And it ought to be our life for His. We use this word, friends for life. And you know something? I've got some of the best friends a man could ever have sitting on church pews here this morning. And I know that. But I also know the devil can mess that up. But Brother Troy, there's one wrote this Bible. Son will never turn his back on you. Brother Ricky, me and you are good friends. Some could come up, but He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, our life for your... I wish we'd get that close in this church. Our life for you. It don't matter about me. It's about you. My life ain't important. It's you're important. Our life for yours. We've given you everything we got. Our whole heart's in this thing. Our church would go a lot further if we'd put our heart in it. Some of you getting a good start. You got your feet in it. You wish you wouldn't hear, but you hear. What we need to do is get God to get your heart in it, and then your feet are really getting in it. You'll be getting somebody's parking spot. You'll be getting somebody's seat. Our life for your life. My life for yours. What a statement. You ever seen that? Our life for yours. But not only do we see that, I want you to notice there is not only a stirring word, but there's a scarlet witness. So the men said, our life for yours. Verse 15, watch this. Then she let them down by a cord through the window. Where was that, preacher? That's on a rooftop. She was hiding them. She let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was on the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. She said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves 3 days till the pursuers be returned. Afterward may you go your way. And the men said to her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, here it is, a scarlet witness. When we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, thy brethren, all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out the doors of thy house in the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever, I'm glad that's in there, shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. If thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made and swear. And she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And look, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. What about this scarlet line, preacher? Can I tell you that this same thread, this same scarlet line runs all through this Bible? Now, this is what happened. She's in Jericho. She's in a bad place. These boys said, that line that saved us, said, it'll save all your house if you just put it up there in the window. You know what this was? This was a rope. This is amazing. It was dyed scarlet. And if they wanted to change a garment's color the way they did things, they would cut a piece of this rope off, just a small part. They would put it in a boiling pot. They'd put their cloth in there. And this little piece of dyed scarlet rope would turn their total garment scarlet. She had this, remember? She had flax upon the roof. That had to do with making garments. So she had some of this dyed rope that she let them down with. Can I tell you this morning, the same thing that saved them saved her? The same thing that rescued them, rescued her, because they said, when you put it in the window and all our army crosses the Jordan, we're coming into Jericho and we take it, and if we see that scarlet thread in the window, we're going to bypass and it's going to save your whole family. Can I tell you the blood still works? There's a scarlet line running all the way through your Bible. That Bible in your hand, there's a scarlet line running from Genesis to Revelation. You remember Adam and Eve in the garden when they sinned? You know what God done? He clothed them with skins. There was a shedding of the blood. Remember their children then? The Bible said, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and they begat children, Cain and Abel. And you remember Cain killed Abel. Cain brought the fruits of the ground, but Abel brought a sacrifice. There's that scarlet bloodline running through the Bible. Not only with Adam and Eve, not only there do we find with Cain and Abel, but let me ask you this morning. What about Noah and the flood? Soon as Noah got through the flood, he made a sacrifice of some of them animals that was on that ark. What about Abraham and Isaac? There's a bloodline running all through that Bible. He took his son upon Mount Moriah. The children of Israel in the Passover in Egypt, God said, take a lamb for a house. And He said, if you'll put it on the doorpost of your house, when that death angel passes over, I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Then in the tabernacle, that great tabernacle, that 3.5 million Israelites went through the desert, set up a tabernacle that bring to the high priest, and it was blood shed daily for the sins of the people. Scarlet line all through this Bible. But then thank God one day there was Calvary. There the Lord Jesus hung between heaven and earth. And there was the greatest blood lie that had ever been given. Now the Bible says without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sins. Don't leave here without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That scarlet witness. Isn't it amazing? For 40 years, let me share if you'd come, 40 years, God would give that old king a chance. Now the Bible said, the book of Joshua chapter 5, when they come in to destroy Jericho, they looked and there was that cord. There was that scarlet line tied in the window, just as she had been told. And they led all of her family out of that city, right back with the children of Israel. Ain't it amazing how that bloodline puts you in the family? Amen. We all have diverse backgrounds. But if you're washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus, we're in one family this morning. Amen. Took them back. Let me ask you something. Do you want to be saved today? You can be. But it'll be by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll be just like her. You had to heard the sound of the gospel and believe. Now I want to close with this. This is amazing to me. May not mean nothing to many people, but it does to me. Not only a soldier's watch, a stirring word, a sinful woman, a scarlet witness, but there's a salvation's wonder. In Hebrews 11 and 31. Hebrews 11 and 31. I want you to notice something in salvation's wonder. Are you ready? This is amazing. Hebrews 11, verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. What salvation's wonder, preacher? She went from the house of shame to the hall of fame. All by faith. And you know what's amazing what that blood does? Look in Matthew 1. The New Testament unfolds and in just a second she's mentioned. There's old Rahab the harlot. Matthew 1 verse 5, the genealogy of Christ. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. She was the great, great grandmother of David. Isn't that amazing? An old harlot out yonder that nobody loved and nobody cared. A providential God come by and by His amazing grace, saved her. Put her in the family. And an heir of the throne. Great, great grandmother of David. You know what that means? The Lord Jesus come out of that genealogy. Sounds like to me He loves old sinners. Isn't it amazing what the blood's done? You see, I was born in the Bowman family in 61. But in 81, I was put in another family by the blood. I've been adopted. And I'm in a great family. My father owns everything. Don't let this suit of clothes fool you, honey. I'm a rich man. Don't let that little avalanche out yonder fool you. Hun, I'm a king's son. Yep. And he can part any Red Sea I got. Yep. Amen. He's God above and beneath. And he's got eyes watching out for me every day of my life. Right. And I bless his good name.